I endeavor to share with you is glorious truths. Before we go back to the Lord's word, I have special greetings that I have for you tonight, my family, and our churches back in Africa who are your brothers and sisters, asked me that wherever I go to fellowship and worship with the Lord's people, that I may pass their love and greetings to you all, and to let you know that you are in their prayers. Amen. And they have a hope that someday when the Lord comes, they'll be able to see you and rejoice together. I also take this opportunity to thank you all once again for your loving kindness, your hospitality, your encouragement, and also the sweet fellowship that I've shared or had with some of you, if not all of you, back there as we were having dinner. And thank you for the food. And also thank you, Brother Paul, and your family for having me in your home. Tonight, if you may, please stand with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and I'll pick a few verses just to speak what the Lord has in my mind tonight for us all. And we know that the whole of this chapter entirely speaks of the resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
And there was a doctrine that came to the children of God, the saints, at the church of Corinth, after Paul had gone there first to preach the gospel of Jesus who died and rose again according to the scriptures. Then later on, a false doctrine came to discourage the Lord's people and to make them hopeless. And in their mind, they could know that there is no hope beyond this life. Paul came back again to remind them of the things that he had preached unto them about the resurrected Savior. And in verse 19 he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now is Christ risen from the dead.
Amen.
And become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die.
Yeah.
Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul makes this statement in this chapter, which is purely dedicated to the resurrection of the dead. And here, these few verses that we have read teaches us a lot. They point to us many things, many glorious truths in this gospel, in this Bible.
Yeah.
He's talking of the first man, who is the earth man, Adam.
Yeah.
And he's also talking of Christ, who is a spiritual Adam.
Yeah. The wise man.
Representing the whole family, the elect family of God.
Amen.
And Adam representing the fallen race of Adam. Because you remember when God created the heavens and the earth, he put Adam after he had created him in the Garden of Eden and gave him a commandment to keep. And remember, it was only one commandment.
Yeah.
And God told him, of all the trees in the Garden of Eden, thou mayest freely eat. When you read in the book of Genesis chapter 2:16. Let's see the commandment that God is giving Adam. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, chapter 2 verse 16, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shall not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, here is God, the creator of the universe, God, the ruler of the universe, God, the judge.
Yeah.
And he has given a law to Adam. He has given a law to man on how he should live according to God. So, according how God wanted him to live. He has given him one commandment and he has told him to keep it.
Right.
And it's a good thing for Adam not to be curious to know why God is not telling him not to eat of this tree. God told him the consequences of eating of that tree.
Yeah.
Had it been, you know, sometimes we as parents, there are things that we don't tell our kids to the end. We may instruct them. For example, you may have a pot, keep something under it, then you tell your child not to open the pot. If you don't tell the child what is in there because of curiosity, the child may end up opening to find what it was. Maybe you kept a rat and you wanted to know if your child is obedient. And then the rat goes, escapes. But if you told the child that if you open this pot, there is a rat here, it will go. Then he will know that if I do this, I'll break the law that my father gave me. So here God is giving Adam the commandment, and he's telling him the consequences. He never hid it from him.
No. Right. Yeah.
So several verses later, we see the serpent going to Eve, giving her the fruit, the forbidden tree, the fruit of the forbidden tree, and Eve took it to her husband, and her husband ate of the forbidden tree. And Eve never brought sin into this world.
That's right. Yeah.
The fact that she was deceived first by the serpent, the Bible does not teach us that sin came into this world by one woman.
That's right.
It came by one man.
Right.
And
right.
The one man is Adam.
Amen.
Because he was representing the whole human race in the Garden of Eden.
That's right. Amen.
He was our representative.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And all the sins that he committed, which was one commandment that he broke, it passed upon all men.
Yeah.
It came into this world, and the sin brought death, and the death has passed upon all men.
Right.
He was representing the whole human race.
That's right.
He was our federal head.
Yes.
And the federal head is someone who represents the people that who are under him. So all of us sinned in Adam.
Yes.
The Bible says, as in Adam, all die. So those who die are all the generation of Adam.
Right.
From Adam to the last man who shall ever walk this earth before the Lord comes. We died in Adam. And Jesus is representing the elect family of God that God chose in him before the world began.
Amen.
It was never a surprise to God that Adam could sin, for the Bible tells us that God is all-knowing.
Yes.
He knows from the beginning to the end.
Right.
And for his own purpose, will and pleasure, he made a covenant of redemption to choose a people before the world began based on his love and his grace, not works.
Amen.
That he could send his son to die for them on the cross. So it pleased God to choose a people in him, in Jesus Christ, in his son, that when Adam could break the law, he could save them to heaven by his grace.
Yes. Yeah.
And these people, the Bible describes to us, are from every nation, kindred, and tongue.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
There are places in this world that you can never attempt to go and spread the gospel or share the glorious truths to the Lord's people. Because you can be killed. If you go to Somalia, it is our neighboring country to the north, where we have radical Muslims who don't want Christianity. They can kill you. But God's people who are in Somalia, the Holy Spirit takes care of them.
Amen. Amen.
So Jesus died for his people from every nation, kindred, and tongue.
Amen.
He is the first fruit among them that slept. So going back to our text, the Apostle Paul says, "But if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." We know that Jesus came into this world for one purpose, to die and save a people that God gave him and take them to eternal glory.
Amen. Yeah.
Jesus never died out of sickness.
That's right.
He never died out of old age. He never got a wreck or died of disease. But he had a purpose. And the purpose was to save his people, to shed his blood on the cross and pay the price we could not pay to God.
Right. Amen.
For we offended him when Adam broke his law in the Garden of Eden. And of all the religious groups or the religions that have been in this world, there is only one religion that stands on the truth that its Savior is alive. If you go to the tomb of Muhammad, who is the founder of Muslim,
right,
and find his body in the grave,
right,
it does not affect them at all.
Amen.
Because he died and never rose again.
That's right.
If you go to the tomb of Karl Lenin, you find his body in the grave, it doesn't affect their religion or faith at all.
Right.
Because he died and never rose again.
Right.
No, but if you go to the tomb of Jesus and find his body, then Christianity collapses.
Yes.
Because it is based on one truth, that he died and rose again.
Amen.
And Jesus was never a prophet. He was not a philosopher. He was not a founder of a movement. He is God manifest in the human flesh.
Right.
He left all his riches and came to this poor world to die and save a people that God chose in him before the world began. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we see an account of Joseph espoused to Mary, and then all of a sudden, Joseph, who the Bible describes was a just man, has discovered that Mary is pregnant. And as Joseph was trying to figure out on how to deal with this situation and leave her, an angel appeared into him in a dream and told him to take Mary as his wife. For what she was carrying is of the Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't have a biological father.
Amen.
He had a spiritual father, and he was conceived of the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
For sin passes from father to child.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If he had a biological father, then Jesus could also be a sinner like us.
That's right.
But thank God, he was God, and he is God manifest in the human flesh.
Amen. Right.
And Mary was just a vessel carrying a Savior who was to come, suffer, bleed, and die to save his people from their sins.
Amen.
He left all his riches and came to this poor world and walked a humble life. And he served with humility. And we, as the Lord's people, need to follow his examples.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
To serve the Lord in humility. To serve our fellow brothers and sisters with humility.
Right.
To serve the community where we live with humility. And see whatever that we see in our day-to-day lives with humility. Mm-hmm. As we glorify and praise and honor our God, who is the living God. So here, the Apostle Paul says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The Apostle Paul is giving us a thought of the first fruit here. Mm-hmm. And this, he points to a principle in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were brought from the land of bondage to the land of Canaan that the Lord had promised them, they were required to give sacrifice to God. If you read in Romans chapter 11, verse 10, the Apostle Paul, in this thought, gives a principle of the Old Testament. He says, for if the first fruit be holy, the lamb is also holy.
Amen.
And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So yeah. The Apostle Paul is pointing to us to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, where Moses was given instructions to tell the children of Israel by God. In that book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 9, starting from verse 9, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye become into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. Mm-hmm. Of the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and ye shall over that day when ye wave the sheaf and a lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. So here, in other words, Moses is given an instruction. God is telling Moses to go and tell the children of Israel on how they were to offer a sacrifice to God.
Right.
Assuming this is a farm of corn and they have grown, almost getting to a point of harvest. Here, one could go and bring the first fruit, the fruit that has come of maturity, and then bring it before they give it to the high priest. And the high priest was to wave the sheaf before the Lord. And if the Lord accepted this first fruit, the whole lamb was blessed.
And accepted. Amen.
And accepted unto the Lord.
That's right.
And if the Lord rejected this first fruit, then he rejected the whole lamb and it was not accepted
Amen.
Unto the Lord.
That's right.
So here the Apostle Paul is giving us this principle of the first fruit. Jesus being the first fruit of men of them that slept.
Amen.
He is the first fruit
That's
of
right.
the elect family of God.
Right. Yes, sir.
He went into the cross and offered a perfect sacrifice.
Yes.
And God accepted his sacrifice.
Amen.
And we, as the Lamb, we as the whole family, as the whole elect family of God, we were accepted unto the Lord
Amen.
Because of the perfect
Amen.
Sacrifice that was done on the cross.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So today, if you are a child of God and you are in Jesus Christ, it's because of the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
Because God chose you in Jesus Christ before the world began.
Amen, brother.
As Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, how we found ourselves in Jesus Christ, it is God who chose us.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Ephesians chapter 1, starting from verse 1, I read up to verse 6. The Apostle Paul is identifying himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and the peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Number 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the Lord. So here what the Apostle Paul is saying, number one, is identifying himself. He never made himself an apostle. And if all of us are the ministers of the Lord, we should know that we are the ministers of the Lord because he separated us aside and set us aside for this work as servants, as
yeah.
humble servants.
Amen. Amen.
So the Apostle Paul is identifying himself and writing to the saints at Ephesus. He's not writing to everyone who lived by then in Ephesus. He was writing to the saints.
Right.
For the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him.
Right.
They can only be discovered by the Spirit of God.
That's
so
right.
Here, if you are not born again, one who has not been born again, the things of the Spirit of God, the gospel, is foolishness. So here he was writing to those who have been born again by that time, because they were able to hear the things of the gospel, the things of the Spirit of God. So he's writing to the saints and saying, grace be unto you and peace from our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. So God chose us before the foundation of the world and put us in Jesus Christ. And in his mind, before the world began, And out of his knowledge and wisdom, he made a covenant of redemption, a covenant of grace, of how he could redeem his people and save them to heaven.
Amen. That's right.
And this covenant is referred in the book of Romans 8. You read from verse 28, 29, 30. You find how he chose a people and he foreknew a people. Not one less, not one more. He called them when they were dead in their trespasses and sins.
Yeah.
When Jesus speaks with that small still voice in our hearts, the sheep, the elect, we live.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Right, brother.
So here, he chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the gospel, to the good pleasure of his will. So God, out of his pleasure, out of his will, out of his purpose, chose a people.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
And from the foreign race of Adam, and made them to be his children, because he loved them before we loved him.
Yeah.
So here, the Apostle Paul continues to say, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure. So God knew the destiny of his children.
Amen.
He knew the end of his children that he chose in Jesus Christ before the world began.
That's right.
When he's coming back again, during that glorious morning, they will be conformed to be the image of his Son.
Amen.
And his Son, Jesus Christ, who is living, the living God, the living Word, is holy. He is just and he is righteous.
Amen.
So when he's coming back again, we shall be holy in the sense that we shall wear a body that will never sin, a body that will never die, a body that will never be corrupt.
Amen.
Because his body is holy.
Amen.
It is sinless. His body is sinless.
That's right.
So he's coming back again. And then the Apostle Paul says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So remember, when Jesus was being baptized in River Jordan, as he was coming out of water, a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. So we have been accepted unto the beloved. We have been accepted unto God because what Jesus did on the cross.
Yes. Amen.
And the Apostle Paul, going back to our text, is saying, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. So here the Apostle Paul says, we, the elect family of God, have been accepted unto God because of what Jesus did on the cross. He made a perfect sacrifice. And if we have been accepted unto Jesus Christ, it is because of the sacrifice that he did on the cross.
Amen.
For he is the first fruit. The first fruit was accepted. The sacrifice that he did on the cross, and the whole lamb, the whole elect family of God, has been accepted unto the Lord. They have been justified. They have been made righteous by the shed blood on the cross.
Amen.
And he gave us a promise before he went to heaven.
Amen.
He said that he is coming back again.
Amen.
And that is
Amen.
The glorious morning we are looking forward to. For he died and rose again. Had it been that he never rose from the dead, then our worship tonight would be in vain. Because we could be yet in our sins. And we could have no hope beyond this life. But he's giving us an assurance
Amen.
That he died and rose again, and he is coming. And no matter how much afflictions we suffer, we can't compare them to the glory that shall be revealed in us when he is coming back again.
Amen.
I know all of us suffer in many ways. We suffer from diseases, losing our loved ones, tornadoes, hurricanes, losing jobs, and some suffer more than others, but all suffer.
Right.
No matter how much you suffer, that is a suffering. But the Apostle Paul comforts us and gives us a hope that no matter how much we suffer, we can't compare it with the glory which shall be revealed in us when the Lord is coming back again.
Amen.
And we could be in a better place than where we are.
Amen.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
And when Jesus died on the cross, he saved us from going to hell to heaven.
Yeah.
And the good news is, he never restored us to the former condition of Adam, of innocence, and being Eden. But we shall be in a better place in heaven,
Amen.
Where we shall live forever and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
That glorious promise he gave, that he's coming back again, shortly before he went to the cross, to prepare a place for his people. For we never had a place in heaven until he could go to the cross and prepare a place for us. We are hoping for that glorious morning.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us when he's coming back again, he is coming like a king.
Amen.
The first time, he left all his riches, he left all his glory, and humbled himself and came to this poor, sinful world to save a people that God chose in him before the world began. And when he's coming back, as the book of Matthew 25 tells us, he is coming with all his glory.
Amen.
He's coming with all his angels.
Amen.
And he will be seated on the throne. A throne is a seat that belongs to a king.
Yeah.
And he is the king, and he is the creator, and he is the judge, and the ruler of the universe.
Amen.
So when he's coming, he's taking home those that he died for. The Bible describes, let's look at that chapter. Matthew 25 gives us a picture of his second coming and what will happen during that day. The Bible says that when the Son of Man, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So here is a picture of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and what shall happen on that very day. The Bible says he shall come with all his glory, with all his angels. He shall come with power.
Amen.
And then before him shall be gathered all nations.
Right.
All nations that have existed, the nations that have come and fallen, the nations that are yet to be born, shall be gathered before him. And then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. Here, the writer uses the metaphor his, which is a possessive pronoun, which tells us that he had a people. These are his people, the sheep. And then he refers to the goats as they who are not his, the non-elect, the unrighteous, who shall be left in that condition till God, when Jesus comes, and then they shall go to hell, to eternal fire that was prepared for them before the world began. So when he's coming to take the sheep home. The Bible says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So he continues to say, he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the sheep and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So here, had it been that this kingdom of heaven, that is heaven which is coming now, not the church, when he's coming, had it been that we shall inherit this kingdom because based on our works, it couldn't work.
No.
Because when God looked from heaven upon the children of men to see if there is any who could seek after him, to see if there is any who could do righteous, he found none.
Right.
So God choosing his people was not based on our works.
Amen. Amen.
Because we could not attain even 0.1 man. Because we were dead. And the dead man cannot move. A dead man cannot feed until we are quickened. I normally give example back home when I preach. We have wells, shallow wells. Like in my house, I have a shallow well. Whenever we collect water from the well, we have to draw the bucket tied on a rope, and water that gets into the bucket, we pull it up. So the water in the bucket has no power to resist coming out of the well.
Amen.
So when God chose a people and gave them to Jesus Christ, and Jesus said that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he shall not lose any one of those, he meant it.
Amen.
Because we are safely secured in his hands.
Amen.
All his saints are preserved in the hands of God.
Amen.
They shall never lose their eternal salvation. And how do they come to Jesus? The Bible continues to say in that book of John, he says, the Father who gave them him draws them to him.
That's right. Right.
Because we were dead, as the book of Ephesians describes to us, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. So the way we go to Jesus is because we are dead, we cannot move. God draws us to him, and he sends his Holy Spirit like the wind, and we are quickened. And there we live once the Spirit gets into us. So that is how God quickens his people. And when he's coming, he's taking them home because he had made a covenant of redemption by himself. And God is a God of promise. He never breaks his covenants.
Yes. Right.
And God never lies.
Amen.
And God never changes.
Right.
Sometimes we as men, our brains or our nature is also inclined to change. We may decide or make a decision, and all of a sudden, because of some circumstances, we change our mind. But God is not like that.
Amen. Right.
His ways are not man's ways.
Amen.
He's a God of promise. He made a covenant of redeeming his people, and it will come to pass when our bodies will be changed within a twinkle of an eye during his second coming. And when he's coming, he will take us home and be with him there forever and forever. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
He was not a failure. He was a successful Savior.
Right. Yes, sir.
For he died and rose again. And our victory is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we rose with him. And this gives us hope to serve him with humility and give him honor and glory for what he has done and walk according to his word.
Amen.
For he keeps on telling us to walk after the Spirit.
Yeah.
And not walk after the flesh. For we know that once we have been born of the Spirit of God, we have two natures. We have the spiritual nature and
right.
this carnal nature. And that both of them, they never agree one with another.
Yeah.
There is a war until we go to the grave.
Right.
There is a war until this body is changed.
Right.
Because
yeah.
the flesh lusted against the things of the flesh.
Yes.
And that the Spirit does not like those things. They never go hand in hand. They are contrary to the things of the flesh.
Right.
But the Bible keeps on encouraging us that we walk after the Spirit of God. And
Amen.
Walking after the Spirit of God is to live a life that is led by the Spirit of God and having trust in His Word.
Amen.
And we are like a light that is set on a hill.
That's right.
We cannot light a light and put it under the table. Because the work of the light is to illuminate.
That's right.
So
right.
that those who are in the dark can see where the light is and come from the darkness.
Yes.
And come to a safe place.
Yeah.
And the light also illuminates to us to walk or to see where we are walking. So that we cannot walk into holes or stumble and fall.
Right. Right.
So that is the work of the gospel. We are the light of the world. Not this natural world, but a spiritual world.
Amen.
For it is a spiritual light, not the natural light. We know the natural light illuminates to the natural world. And the spiritual light illuminates to the spiritual world.
Amen.
And we were made light by Jesus Christ when He gave us a spiritual life.
Right.
And our good works should glorify the Lord.
Amen.
And they should reflect the work of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So that the Lord's people who are in the darkness can be able to see the good works and come and rejoice together with us and then give the glory to God for what He has done for us. So brothers and sisters, I want to give you hope. I want also us to be encouraged that whenever we lose our loved ones and the loved ones we have lost, because Jesus died and rose, they shall also live.
Amen.
We shall see them when He's coming back again,
yeah.
and we shall be reunited.
Yeah.
And we shall be together with them forever and forever.
Amen.
For He is coming back again.
Yeah.
A wonderful Savior who shed His blood on the cross for His people, not for everyone, but for His people,
right.
that God
right.
gave Him before the world began. And He's coming like a king to take us home.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that glorious morning, and I believe you do look forward to that very day.
Yes. Yeah.
That when He's coming, we shall speak the same language. The language of the Spirit of God.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
I believe we shall not be struggling to pardon one another. What did you say? Pardon? You know, because when He's coming, He is our Father. He is the King. He created us. He gave us the spiritual life. And the Spirit that is in us is the language that we will speak. The language of our Father, the language of His children, the family, the elect family of God, and go home where we shall rest and live forever and forever. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus Christ that we continue to serve. So I encourage you, brethren, let's continue to serve a living Savior.
Amen.
A successful Savior, a living God, a God that who takes care of His children and is coming back again. I look forward to that glorious morning where all of us shall be reunited and go home where we shall be singing the same language. May God bless you for your good attention.
Amen.